Lord, you've gathered us here at this divine time, so be it. Give you thanks for the messages we put through song and the fellowship, all that we have witnessed, oh God. So let me decrease as you increase. May the words that I speak bring you praise, Lord, and never, never, never shame. Unite us and launch us into preferred future. We ask and all this in your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen
and amen. The sermon for this morning is Surviving Hard Times. Surviving Hard Times. When I was an intern at Grady Medical Hospital as a seminary student, I went into the waiting room, and one of the rare times weren't many people in, and one man was in there. And so I went talked to him and see if he had any needs, and he shared with me that he'd lost his wife of many years. He lost his dad, he lost his best friend, and lost a grandchild in a car accident in a span of 10 days. And he said these words, "Preacher, these are hard times. What am I supposed to do now?" These are hard times, church. You'll have hard times. What are you supposed to do now? The word is in the text. When the disciples were talking about all the wonderful things that were going on, and Jesus said, all the wonderful structures you see now, they're going to be leveled. People are going to be fighting. You'll be hearing rumors. People be saying, giving you false witness. It's going to get bad. It's going to get bad, but it's not the end of everything. And so when we have trouble and when we face hard times, what do? It is so easy to love God when things are going good. I got my good job. I just got a raise. I'm in this house. Ain't many people got the finery I got. I got, instead of jelly glass now, I got water for crystal, y'all. I got good stuff. I got a lawnmower that can spin around 20 times in a minute. All this stuff. My children are all well and happy. You know, I even like my wife, like my husband. Everything's going good. Cooking's gotten better. Coffee smells even better. Everything's going good. And then one thing happens, and we stop. One thing happens, and we, God, what are you doing? God never promised us a rose garden, did he? What he did promise you was, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you got to stick with me. It's not a part-time journey. It's not a half-time journey. It's not a sitting on the fence journey. It is a journey that I need you every day. I need you to live the life that you talk about, that you preach about. I need you to live it. I need you to be an actual witness, because times will get hard. They're getting hard. Eggs are going up. Bread's going up. Gas is going up. Everything is going up. And the media keeps telling us, woe is me, everything is bad. But the fact that you can still buy gas, the fact that you can still boil an egg, the fact that you can still turn the air conditioner and the heat on, the fact that you still got it, says that even in hard times, God's favor is upon you. Even in hard times, you're still being blessed every day. Even when death comes a knocking for Christian folk, and death comes at a time, it's never convenient. It's never convenient to lose your spouse. It's never convenient to lose your child. It's never convenient to lose somebody you love. God's still with you. God's got this. And every time you have a loss, God gives you there's a blessing to come. You gotta wait on it. You gotta hold out. You don't throw your hands up. What do I do? All of us have been blessed beyond measure. And when you're blessed, though, it ought to be some fruit to see some joy. How many sour folk do you know ain't got no reason to be sour? Wouldn't smile if you paid them. You say it's sun shining, it's too hot. You say that whatever you say, there's a negative underlying that fact. But the people who really know and understand Jesus, they give God thanks to God for every day. They wake up every day and kiss the day, embrace it, love that day. Because every day is an opportunity to do something significant for God. Every day you get up, ask the question, Lord, what adventure can we have today? Not, I want to wallow in my bed. It's okay to wallow sometimes, trust me. But life ain't about wallowing. Life ain't about standing still. Life is about using all the energy that you got. Because there come a time when you don't have the energy that you would like to have. So while you're able, while you're in your right mind, while your limbs are strong, we ought to be doing something significant for the kingdom. Because the text teaches us that things are going to get bad. Look all around you now. If Russia bombed us, and we bombed Russia or China or North Korea, I wouldn't be shocked. Because all the crazy stuff is going on, and I'm hopeful that people all around the world can get along, but nothing's going to shock us because so many crazy things are going on. And all the news, one side or the other, I celebrate the killing of this person, I hate the killing of this person. Nobody's asking Jesus what's right and wrong. It's what side I stand on. It's going to get... People are trying to take voting rights from folk and walk into communities and say, I don't like the way you voted, that's not any good. But what these folk don't understand, that are reaping hate and evil on the Lord, God is not going to stand for that. God knows evil, and God knows what to do with evil. God understands that you might be big and bad now, but soon and very soon. All the evil tyrants, all the evil persons in history, you know where they are now? Their bones are blown away. They're gone. All the folk with all the power now, 10, 20 years from now, where will they be? And God is still going to be on the throne. But we've got to be his proper witnesses. We can't give in to fear. We can't give in to hate. We can't give in to apathy and indifference. The question when your children ask you, what are you doing for God? And they will ask. When they ask you, how are you celebrating life? They will ask. And it can't just be about obtaining stuff. Hear me, I like stuff. I enjoy stuff of this world, materialistic stuff. But if that's all you care about, you're in trouble. When you value your stuff above people, something's wrong. One of my good friends and I argue about stuff because he so wants his stuff protected, he's ready to zap somebody who tries to take his stuff. You know, I got a 22 in my back pocket. I got a 38 in the bedroom. I got a 45 in the kitchen. I'm ready to get my stuff. Well, I tell you, we'll all defend our family and our kin from hurt, harm, and danger. But to say that I shot somebody over a lawnmower, I can't stand before God and say, he tried to get my mower, Lord. That's a series and rollback giant lawn. That's a great one. He tried to get my motorcycle, Lord. I'm the only one got one of them big bad motorcycles. He tried to get it. I don't care how you justify it. You taking a life over stuff. That ain't biblical. It ain't theological. Getting quiet in here. Because we love our stuff. But I'm telling you, folk, I'm not telling you to appreciate thievery or thugs or hoods, but I'm telling you, when do we decide the value of life? Because if we decide that a thug's life ain't worth nothing, no wonder thugs don't care about our lives. Nobody cares. It's just, I'm going to keep my stuff at all costs. And God is saying, you can get more stuff. You can't blow the life back in a person. You can't do it. Our concern has got to be, yes, law and order. Yes, making sure everybody's protected, but not to the point that we're evil and we despise and hate people and we're looking for somebody to harm. Hear me. We're all God's children. And every hood, every thug started out, didn't start out that way. The circumstances of life make us who we are. And until you walk into somebody else's footsteps, you don't have the right to judge or be judgmental. And too often we are. Times are going to get hard. Your health, you get older, things happen, uncertainty. But the promise of God is, yes, as buildings come down, yes, as tornadoes happen and floods and earthquakes and all of this stuff, guess who's still in control? At the end of the day, no matter how many people are lost in the flood, there's still somebody that's left alive. No matter how many houses come down in the earthquake, life still goes on. And God's got this. God's got it in his care. And what we have to do is be able to realize, Lord, everything, life is sacred. I don't care how evil a person is. I don't care what you say about a person. Life is sacred. We can't fix the bad people. We can pray for them. God, the Holy Spirit has to do the fixing. You can't even fix your own spouse. Can't even fix your own children. You can't do that. You got to pray and hold them accountable. Ask God to do what God does best. Because every time we try to fix somebody, we tear up, we make it worse. Amen? Every time we try to fix somebody, we make it worse. Well, I'm going to fix that son-in-law of mine. I'm going to fix him. Yeah, she married the wrong boy, but after I work with him, he'll be the man he needs to be. Well, he married that big-head girl over there. I told him not to marry that girl. But after my wife works with her, she's going to be a pretty good cook, and she's going to be sweet, and she's going to be submissive after. No, folk. You don't fix anybody. You get somebody killed trying to fix them. Our role in this life is to model what it means to be a good husband, a good wife, a good child. If we model it, that's all we can do. And we let God do the rest. Are you going to survive hard times? It's up to you. Are you going to keep on trusting God and believing? Are you going to throw your hands up and lay down? It shouldn't have happened to me. I've been good, Lord. Last 10 years, I ain't winked at nobody. Last 10 years, I ain't done nothing I'm not due. So why is this bad stuff happening? Shut up and live. Embrace life. And say, God, what we ought to be saying is, whatever happens, Lord, no matter how painful it is, I need you to be with me. And God will send you a sign. You know what that man kept asking me, what after I had all these losses, what do I do? And I'm a young pastor I don't have the words to say anything to him. My mouth is wide open. I'm feeling his pain. And a little girl who's a special needs little girl breaks away from her family and runs into the room and picks him to hug. She put her loving arms around him, and it was like God saying, son, it's going to be okay. I got you. And they held each other for what it seemed like minutes, just holding on to each other, just being reassured that this angel who has special needs is coming to the room and said, you're also a child of God who's hurting. I'm here for you. When we see the hurt and when we embrace those who are hurting, it makes a difference. Because I promise you, when you serve and love people, you ain't got time to think about your losses. You ain't got time to think about war with me. You're too busy serving God. And God always has a second chance. You always get a second chance. Even in the worst of times, God gives you a second chance. I had three little churches in North Georgia, and they were all as radically on a charge as a Methodist pastor. They are so radically different. This church behaves one way, this church behaves another, this church behaves another. You got to deal with all these personalities and all these sweet, crazy people. You got to deal with them. Nathan was one of our staunchest supporters in one way. He would, we got to support the pastor, we got to pray for the pastor. But he was a chauvinist. My little daughter didn't like him. Cynthia didn't like him. He just was a chauvinist. And I kept telling him, Nathan, you can't talk to women any kind of way. The Bible says reverend women. I said, you ain't reading the Bible right. You ain't getting me killed talking this kind of stuff. But Nathan's grandchild would come. He would come to spend the summer with him every summer. And the little boy had asthma. severe asthma. His wife kept telling him, Nathan, you travel with this child and he's got these severe asthmatic symptoms. You need to learn CPR. Oh, woman, he's a turner. That asthma ain't gonna bother my grandson. One Saturday, he goes uptown in the country. Old men go uptown to swap knives, and his wife says, swap lies. But they up there, and little boy's playing a game in the truck. And so the truck is not far from the park benches. You don't have to cross the road to get there. So he's little boy said, Papa, I'll come when I'm through my game. And he said, okay, just be careful. And he could see the little boy's head, but as they talked, he looked and he didn't see the boy's head. And so one of the friends said, I don't see your little grandson. And he walked over there, the little boy was struggling to breathe, and Nathan was stuck. He didn't. By the time somebody who knew CPR got there, got the little boy to the hospital. He had expired by the time he got to the hospital. I was to do the eulogy, and Nathan vanished. Nowhere to be seen. Nobody knew where he was, and we were having a service, and the whole town is divided. You know, Nathan had listened to his wife, the child would still be here, and the rest of the town was saying, you know, that's his grandchild. We got to love him. Divided, and I get up, Nathan is not there, and I come up to the pulpit, and Lord still hadn't given me anything to say meaningful that's going to make a difference. I'm torn, and the door opens, and Nathan barely comes in. It's obvious he hadn't had a bath, hadn't shaved. He drags himself in and sits on the last row. And then, before I could preach the whole family side, there's a lot of commotion, and they're having a little meeting right before the sermon. I'm saying, what's going on? And I thought, it's going to be something crazy going on up in here, and I don't need to be in here. But they sent two of the grandsons back there for Paw. And one got on his left, and one got on his right, and they walked him up to the front. And one of the granddaughters took a baby and put it in his arms. And I didn't have to preach. They didn't say, we don't trust you anymore. You're still Paw. And the children still need you. And even in the worst of times, we're going to be family. Even in the worst of times, God is going to be active. Are you ready for hard times? Are you ready to be family? In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 And amen.